to the Wedding 101 podcast. Hello, my name is David Rothstein. This program was designed to be a helpful resource for both brides, grooms, as well as wedding professionals. It was created to give listeners real insights from the top wedding professionals in the nation. Each new show features a wedding professional from a different aspect of wedding planning. Photographers, caterers, wedding planners, florists, venues, and many more. These interviews will give you lots of great ideas about how to get the best results for your wedding. Wedding vendors can also learn from fellow professionals. If you have an idea for a guest, please let us know. And we hope you enjoy today's podcast. And our special guests today are Chaz Hearn and Mary Biller from the Museum of Contemporary Art. And before we get started with our interview with them, I'm going to tell you a little bit about our special guests. Chaz has worked at the Museum of Contemporary Art Chicago for 4 years and loves the wide variety of rental events that he gets to work on. Although the museum hosts a lot of galas and conferences, a large majority of the events are still the weekend weddings that take place on the beautiful sculptured garden. Chaz has been a Chicago resident for 5 years. When he's not working Chicago rentals at the museum, you can find him playing original folk music on his banjo at different venues around Chicago.
All covered in blue, I'm a searching fool until optimism comes shining, shining.
Has been the director of catering at the MCA since November of 2015 with Culinaire, which is the museum's newest exclusive provider overseeing and coordinating catering from all the museum's catered functions, as well as weddings, corporate events, and non-for-profit events. Prior to starting at the MCA last year, Mary worked at Sodexo in a similar role at the Museum of Science and Industry, as well as the Chicago Botanic Gardens. She has experience in off-premise catering after her years of working one of the city's premier off-premise caterers, Food for Thought. She has catered and helped coordinate over 150 weddings over the past 6 years. Mary is the marketing and communications chair of the Chicago chapter of NACE, and in her spare time, she likes to cook, enjoy wine, travel, and spend time with friends, family. She also really wishes that she had a dog. So maybe we can arrange that. We have a very special dog, Goldie. You can visit Goldie anytime you like. So welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Glad to have you guys here. And today's program, we're going to talk a little bit about, there's so many different venues to choose from. There's hotels, there's lots of banquet halls, there are now museums and lofts. So today we're really going to focus on what it's like and what's involved in planning a wedding at an actual museum and what's involved with putting that together. So just to get started, what are some of the factors that brides and grooms need to consider when having a wedding at a museum as opposed to a hotel?
Well, I think a nice thing about the museum is that it feels more like a cultural event. I feel like people do associate hotels with weddings, and I don't think there's a problem with those, but I think it starts to feel way more of a significant experience. People sometimes to this day, I see them, I'm doing a wedding walkthrough with some clients, and people come up to me and say, oh, you do weddings here? That's great. So it's something that people don't always immediately think of, and it's a cool idea. We even did a wedding last summer that was sort of a gala theme. They said, like, we want to hold a gala-themed wedding, and I think that's really the epitome of what museum weddings are about, where it feels more like a cultural event than anything else.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of hotels do provide a lot of things that, you know, in terms of like tables and, of course, catering and stuff like that. What are some of the additional items that they probably need to rent to be able to have an event or having their wedding at the MCA?
Well, you know, we're really lucky at the MCA. We have a really fabulous inventory of tables, chairs. The museum even has some really cool, funky lounge furniture that can be used for events. So that's really one of the great advantages that's specific to our museum. I would say, you know, any additional things that come in that are rental items, you know, farm tables are still really hot right now. People love those, that kind of look of that wooden, you know, rustic feasting table. We still see a lot of those. But for the most part, you know, with our museum in particular, we do have a lot included in what you get with the rental fee.
And all that, of course, is laid out and included in your final cost. So you have variations on what to include and not include.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we'd say people would probably want to be looking to bring in like music or floral and hopefully a wedding planner.
We love the wedding planners. We really do. We promote them.
Goes a lot smoother.
The good ones, certainly. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. And so, since you have this incredible museum, and it's really one of my favorite museums in Chicago, how do you find a balance between keeping the focus on the event itself while keeping the events over, so people aren't wandering all over the entire museum? How do you kind of balance those two things?
Well, we have security staff is included with the rental fee, which is good. And people are like, oh, that's so kind. I'm like, well, no, it's very important to us too. But of course, it's a nice thing. I mean, we have the exhibits open typically right around when we serve dinner and then close them before dancing, before things get a little too crazy. Yeah, the security mainly keeps people. We typically have them just on our main floor. But what I love about the way the MCA is laid out is that the exhibits are right there. Typically, we have dinners in the atrium, and the exhibits are right there off the atrium, so people can wander through, but they never feel like they're leaving the party. So it's a nice combination.
Okay. So in a museum like that, it's a little bit more compact and stuff. But when you have one of the larger museums, and I know you can't speak for something like the Field Museum, or, you know, I know you were at the Museum of Science and Industry. Mm-hmm. Is that sometimes a challenge of people like being on the opposite side? And they're missing toasts and they're missing things like that. How do you kind of... But do people kind of pick which exhibits are going to be open? Do people have those types of flexibility?
Yeah, definitely, David. I would say that, you know, when you work on events within a museum, the intent is always, you know, we kind of have to strategize with what areas we're using for what part of the event, you know, so just so as we're kind of keeping everyone's attention. For example, we have our fourth floor, which is where our main exhibition is always located. And sometimes people want to use that maybe for their cocktail hour. We might do a wedding ceremony up there if there's bad weather outside and we can't use our sculpture garden. But it's just kind of, you know, we're always trying to use the space in the best way possible to kind of keep the guests together, keep their focus, keep their attention, right, and just kind of strategically use the museum for how we need it.
Okay. And why do you think in general people are looking for different types of places than automatically just finding some hotel or something? I mean, there's certainly so many different options that are available now, and different sizes and stuff like that. Why do you think there's been such a trend to find some different types of spaces?
I think people are looking for something unique, and I think the MCA definitely has something like that to offer. Especially in our atrium, we usually have some sort of artwork there. It's typically up on the wall, so it's not in the way of the event, but it's just something to remind you you're in a museum. One time we had a 40-foot tall fire exit that had been crushed, hanging from the ceiling. Or last summer, a majority of our weddings saw we had a small Fiat car hanging on the wall, about, I think it was 20 feet in the air. So you're eating dinner and you look up and you see a car hanging on the wall. And I think it's just things like that are just, you look at your wedding photos and you always remember that, like, wow, there was a car on the wall where we got married.
Yeah. And I think to that same point as well, I think that, you know, we're just continuing to see couples wanting to have this extremely personalized experience in their wedding. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that can even come down to the location. You know, perhaps the couple had their first date at the MCA. Maybe it's just a space that they've enjoyed visiting, you know, over the years of their relationship, or it's special to their family for one reason or another. So I feel like we see a lot of that, you know, sort of personalization in selecting the museum.
Yeah, it's an incredible place because there's you're changing exhibits pretty often, and I think that's really, really magnificent. And I think you're so fresh and so kind of quirky forever, you know. I mean, it's incredible. There's so much, such a variety of different types of artworks that are there. So obviously, when you have a museum, it's something that's open to the public. So how do you make that transition from the end of the closing of a museum to the beginning of an event? Walk me through what that process is like.
Quickly and carefully.
Okay. That's where the security comes in.
We're fortunate enough that we have a really great staff. We all work together to understand that, yes, we're a museum, but these are a significant part of what we do. We do some stuff while we're still open. We try to keep that to a minimum just so we're not interfering with the guest experience, but we have a sort of a good system right now where certain things like elaborate floral arrangements, someone needs a long time to put them together. We say, why don't you just take a seat in our cafe? You know, our cafe is still open to the public. You just sit at the table, put together your arrangements, and, you know, we can start to build that and slowly, slowly start to take over more of the space.
Okay, so it's an actual preset kind of process of closing off certain areas and things like that.
Yeah, so we sort of start while we're open, trying to make sure we're not interfering with the guest experience, just setting up things where there's room. Fortunately, our outdoor space is so large that if we can just do that, we're not really in the way of the exhibits or in the way of the general public. And then it's sort of a 5 p.m. We close the museum doors and everyone scrambles to put everything in place, and we always manage to get done by 6.
It's amazing how that happens, right? Yeah. If people only knew kind of when they have like the switch over from rooms, and I'm actually a wedding band leader, so I've played at the MCA a number of times, and it's really incredible how they're able to transform a room from a cocktails into dinner and then to dancing without anybody ever noticing. So if the brides and grooms ever knew kind of how quickly and what the process is like, they'd be kind of amazed. But they just see the voila, yeah, here's this perfect room.
And we're really lucky too at the MCA. We have a number of our catering staff members who have worked there for a number of years, and they really know the drill. Because as you know, David, in what we do, a lot of the setup and transitions and things like that fall on the catering team to make that happen, to move the tables and chairs, things like that. We work really closely with our amazing housekeeping team as well to get everything set up on time and just make sure that any transition of space is seamless. So, but we're really lucky to have some people that have been on our team for a very long time.
And what is the requirements in terms of insurance? Obviously, when you're dealing with multi-million dollar exhibits and you have people dancing and alcohol, things have happened in the past. What's kind of involved with getting insurance for a wedding there?
Well, we want just the basic liability insurance on the venue end, just covering just the general liability. And then a big thing is just that we don't allow the drinks in the galleries themselves. And we always have plenty of guards in there just keeping an eye on everyone. And they're very friendly about it. But just little things like if you have a large purse with you or something, they say, hey, why don't you put that down at your table? Or they say, hey, folks, you know, try to keep a respectful distance. But people are always very understanding. I think there's sort of that cliche image of the person holding a glass of wine while looking at contemporary art. So people always want to be like, no, I'd love to sip the wine and contemplate. But unfortunately, you have to put your wine down, walk through the gallery, and that's right there on a table just outside. So we just try to always keep a good eye on them and keep it all in good fun.
I think that's probably a good idea to kind of keep that on the outside.
Yes.
Now, I know that for the MCA, you had mentioned that you are the in-house catering. So within that, you sit down, how does that work? Once they book the place, then you kind of go through what the different catering options are in terms of, you know, the specific foods they can, that's the whole next kind of process after they book the venue?
Yeah. So, you know, we have kind of a unique process in terms of how we work with clients, particularly wedding clients. So Chaz and I, if, you know, let's say a bride calls up and she wants to come in, she wants to tour the space. Chaz and I typically try to meet with each wedding client together. So at that initial site visit, you know, we can cover everything that's building related, logistical questions, where would we typically set up this or that. And then we can also, if the client is ready, you know, I can delve into some more details about catering services and things like that at that point. But most typically, you know, we try to have that initial, you know, first contact with the client together. Then, you know, we can talk a little bit about some general price points and things like that. Then once they're comfortable with the space rental plus the cost of catering, then we move forward in customizing a proposal. So it's a few steps, but we just, Chaz and I really try to work on it all together so that the clients are comfortable and understand really the whole shebang, you know, from catering to the building and everything together, just to do that expectation setting up front.
And what's the capacity for weddings there?
We typically say if you're going to do a ceremony there, try to keep it to 200 people or less. For the sole purpose of our rain plan is we have a multiple different indoor rain plans. We can fit more than 200 outside. So I always say, you know, if you have more than 200 people and you're really set on the MCA, especially if you like our space, let's just talk about a tent. And typically, a lot of these tenting companies only need a week or two's notice. So if it does look like it's going to be cold or rainy, we can just get that. And we can still accommodate larger than that. But I just say, just to save everyone a headache, it helps to try and keep your ceremony 200 or less. Mm-hmm. But for seated dinners inside, we could do as many as 320. So if you're talking about just a wedding reception, we can go quite a bit larger.
Mm-hmm. And when people book the place, do you give them different options? Well, we can do the band over here. We can have cocktails in this room. Do they get like four or five different spots that they can kind of, you know, you give them kind of the layout, and then they kind of decide, oh, I want to do the ceremony in this room or the outside? Or
I mean, I think there's like eight or nine options. Sometimes it's overwhelming to clients how much. I mean, we have a lot of flexibility, but
we do. We do. I think that's one of the very unique things about the MCA is that there isn't necessarily a cookie cutter way to do your wedding at the MCA. We have so many options, which, as Chaz mentioned, you know, sometimes it kind of feels a little, you can see the look on the client's face like, oh no, they're getting lost.
Yeah.
You know, so we try to give them the layout of, you know, typically this happens here, typically this happens there. But we always just tell them to keep in mind, if you have a different idea, we are totally open to it. And, you know, using our spaces in different ways.
You had mentioned that a lot of the people that get married there are many times big fans of the museum itself or have some associations to it. When they sign up for a wedding, do they get a free membership of any kind? Or
we do, actually. For their one-year wedding anniversary, we like to send them and say, hey, you know, happy anniversary. Here's your wedding membership. And it's
a nice
perk that we give.
Yeah. I like that. I think that's really great. And free T-shirts, right? Bumper stickers, the whole thing.
I love that. Yeah, you know, we do need some good T-shirts.
And Chaz told me earlier that they're coming out with members-only jackets.
Totally
kidding.
That would be
kind of
cool,
fun,
though.
Like
that
a
would
fun
be
retro
cool.
kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I like that.
You can work on that, the MCA. Yeah.
That would be cool.
All right, there you go. What are some of the additional vendors that somebody would need to hire when they're having a wedding at a museum versus having it at a hotel?
Well, I guess the first thing that comes to mind is actually just maybe more of an advantage to having your wedding at a museum versus hotel.
Okay.
So one of the things about having your wedding at a place like the MCA is that it's not going to go away. So it's not going to change hands. It's not going to be bought by another company. Mm-hmm. It's not going to close down and become something else. You know, you and your fiance are going to be able to come back year after year and take a look at the place that you said your vows together or where you celebrated with your friends and family together.
Yeah.
So you kind of have that timeless aspect of the wedding location. So I think that that's a huge advantage to picking a museum versus maybe hotels or restaurants and things like that. One of the things that is a huge advantage for the MCA is that we are very close to tons of hotels downtown. So a lot of people do just have their guests walking you know, to and from. However, one thing that would be a nice thing to offer if you were looking to do any additional, you know, products, services, things like that, that's sort of unique for us, would maybe, you know, be to do some kind of shuttle that would take people to and from, or, you know, shuttle people around back and forth. So that would probably be my only suggestion of an outside service. But mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you think, Chaz?
I agree.
Yeah.
So a bride has now decided that I really love museums. We love culture. There are so many to choose from. Luckily, Chicago has a huge amount of amazing museums, different sizes and different feels and different locations. What would you guys say would be some of the first steps that people need to, the questions they need to be asking? First of all, before they go out and start searching, in terms of having a discussion between the bride and groom, what type of museum do we want to find? I mean, what are some of the factors that should come into play when them between themselves, before they go searching, should be able to come up with and then go do their search?
I think it's really important to look at the exhibits that are up when you look at the space, just because the MCA definitely has some quirky stuff and it can be a little strange. And I think that can work too. Some people really like that. Some people, it really goes with their personality. Other people say, you know, I want something that's really traditionally beautiful. I don't want to take a risk. I don't want to worry about offending anyone. So maybe they might be more comfortable at a more classical museum. But I just think the MCA has this great risk factor with the artwork. And I think that definitely mm-hmm. shows with a lot of our clients too, though. Those people who say, oh, there's a car going up on the wall next week? I didn't know that. That's great. And I think it's cool to be able to roll with it a little bit.
Yeah, it should be an expression of their personalities. Another way of, that's what people want these days. They want, you know, in this day that we live in with the username and passwords and account mm-hmm. numbers, people want to be able to express themselves. And that's why Pinterest is so popular and Etsy. People want to be able to be unique and be themselves. And I always think the best weddings are always when people are not trying to show how hip and trendy they are. Not trying to be like, hey, Kim Kardashian had her wedding like this, and this is how we're going to do things. But hey, this is me, you know? You know, and for better or worse, this is kind of what we're all about. Just like when if you went to the apartment of a bride and groom, you'd see the photographs and the furniture and the colors and the technology. You learn a lot about them, and the same thing should happen, I think, for their wedding. And when people come to the MCA, they're certainly going to have a certain expectation of what it's going to look like. And I think it's a great space, and especially for those that really love contemporary art. I mean, it's really it's a fantastic place to have your wedding. Speaking of that, tell me a little bit about kind of the history of the MCA, how it got started, and you know, what's the history behind that? What makes it a unique venue?
Well, it opened in the 60s, 1967. I believe it was on Ontario. I should know that. But we moved to our current location in 1996. And I think before that, the events department was a part of another department. It was sort of a whole conglomerate. But then all of a sudden, we have this huge space. It was designed by Joseph Kleihues, a German architect that's got a great modern look to it. And all of a sudden, we have this huge space with four floors. So that was really when the rentals department was created, just around 20 years ago. And yeah, all of a sudden became this place that people really would want to do a wedding outside on the beautiful sculpture garden, or our interior staircase that forms that really fun shape in there. And so that was really, I'd say, when we started to take rental events a lot more seriously.
And it's really grown, obviously, from there. We've done lots of corporate events, lots of weddings there, and all kinds of shapes and sizes. And but it's nice. It's such a big, beautiful room, especially the long kind of walkway there between the entrance and the cafe there. You can really dress it up, and I've seen a lot of different configurations. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the importance of bringing lighting in, what that can really do for
so
in
important.
That space.
It's a really beautiful, beautiful atrium, and it's got these pristine white walls, and we have these fluorescent lights that make it look like a museum or mm-hmm. maybe even a hospital. So I say, we can make it really dark, we can make it look really fluorescent. So I can't overestimate how important lighting really is.
Yeah, we encourage all of our clients, whether it's a wedding, a corporate event, a gala, whatever it might be, we highly, highly recommend lighting in our space. It just really is, it puts the cherry on the top of the sundae. I mean, it's just really what does it in terms of pulling together, you know, a really nice look for the space. Dresses up, you know, our plain white walls and just adds a little bit of drama and flair. So we highly encourage it.
Yeah, I've seen it really transform some spaces that seem pretty bland, and all of a sudden it's like those extreme makeover shows. You know, some people right. that come out like, oh my God, you know, and the relatives come running over and everything. So I think that's a really great addition to that. Do clients have any control over, let's say they love the museum, but maybe there's one crazy exhibit piece that's just, they're just maybe offended by, or like somehow they don't want it as part of their photos. Do they have any control over moving things or stuff like that? Or
we like to work together with them and make sure everyone's comfortable. Like I said, I always talk to people from the beginning and say, make sure that you look at the exhibits and that you're comfortable with the contemporary art thing in general. Sometimes people feel that they are, and as they get closer, or there's a specific exhibit that is particularly challenging for whatever reason, that they just don't feel is appropriate for a wedding. So we keep that to a minimum in the atrium. The atrium is usually nothing. You're not going to see anything too offensive in the actual event space. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are exhibits that are a bit edgy for some people for a wedding specifically. I've often heard people say, I'm okay with it, but I'm just worried about my grandmother or something.
Right, right.
So what we do is we just have this really easy way. Like we have these doors that we just keep closed and we say, you know, it's no problem. Let's close the doors to this exhibit and then open maybe a smaller exhibit on the third floor. That way we just put up a little sign that says, hey folks, you know, there's one exhibit here, one on the third floor, feel free to look at it. And just that way it's a lot easier there.
What about for vendors that have not performed there before? It's a little bit more involved instructions or loading and things like that. Is there specific discussions and information that they need to know or brides need to know to pass along to their vendors?
Well, one thing I love is that our freight elevator, I mean, people are always like, oh, this is going to be a crazy request. I don't know if you can fit this in your elevator. And I know that we've put a car in there and we've done something. So I'm not ever worried about loading in. But the big thing is just timing. And I have to say, sometimes you just have to be a little flexible because sometimes it's a Saturday and all of a sudden it's really, really nice out or just a lot of people at the museum. So we just want to make sure that we're not disrupting the guest experience. So just to let the vendors know to be a little flexible.
Yeah. And I would say to that point as well, with any museum or any cultural institution that a wedding couple is going to be booking, they really do need to know these timing restrictions in terms of load in, load out, all of those things when they're starting their conversation with their vendors. So for example, if they hire a florist that's not familiar with our timing restrictions, and you know, we do have a pretty tight setup window, if they're not familiar with that, they might not send enough staff people to create these pieces or whatever it might be that they've sold to you. So they really, it's very important for them to be able to staff appropriately for what they need to get done in that limited time, whether it's load in or load out, you know, at the end of the night too. So I just think any wedding couple, you know, if you're looking at doing a non-traditional venue like a museum, it's really, really important to communicate that to your vendors when you're hiring them, just to make sure that A, they can do it, and that B, they're, you know, staffing appropriately and really understanding everything that they need to do to work in our space.
Talk to me about parking. How do you handle all that with 200 guests? That's a lot of cars.
Well, we have a garage on site, which is really nice. We give them a validation slip, so they only pay a flat rate rather than this horrific downtown hourly rate, which is really nice. It holds 78 spots, and it is open to the public, so I always say, you know, keep in mind if you think everyone is going to drive, which is actually quite rare, but if you do think everyone's going to drive, let's look around. I mean, fortunately, we're in downtown Chicago, and there's a lot of nearby garages that I'm happy to recommend to them.
Great, great. Well, do you have any other final tips that you guys would like to include about the MCA or some advice about having weddings at museums before we wrap up?
One thing I would keep in mind is that, yes, we do have a beautiful outdoor space. And, of course, most people do want to get married outdoors, and that's totally understandable. But I think it's always good to make sure that you have your rain plan in mind, too, and that you're okay with that. Because sometimes people say, you know, I'm not crazy about the contemporary art, but your outdoor space is so beautiful, that's okay. And I obviously want to make them happy, but I also want to let them know, okay, but if it does rain, make sure you're okay with the inside.
Especially if you live in Chicago. That's a big part of...
or if it's 30 degrees in June.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's been a little crazy with the weather lately, but great. Well, thank you so much. I'd like to thank Chaz Hearn and Mary Biller from the Museum of Contemporary Art for being our special guests today. Hope you've all learned a lot about what's involved with having your wedding at a museum and more specifically at the MCA. And it's an amazing space. Performed there many, many times and look forward to many future weddings and events there as well. If you'd like to learn more about having a wedding there, feel free to reach out to Chaz and Mary. You can reach Chaz at chearne@mcachicago.org, or you can call him at 312-397-4017. If you'd like to contact Mary, you can reach her at mbiller@mcachicago.org. And you can call her at 312-397-3872. And be sure to visit their beautiful website to find out about what's involved with having an event there and what exhibits are coming up, which is mcachicago.org. So thanks, Chaz and Mary, for being such fun guests.
Our pleasure.
And hopefully you've learned a lot. I know I certainly have. And hopefully all of you have benefited from finding out about what's involved in having a wedding at a museum. Be sure to tell all your friends about the Wedding 101 podcast. You can listen to other programs that we've recorded earlier on our website, which is drsmusic.com, and click over under resources where it says Wedding 101 podcast. So thanks so much again to our special guests, Chaz and Mary. Thanks to Sarah Kay for producing and doing the theme song. And thanks to Goldie, our special guest doggy here. And so thanks for listening, everybody. And we want to wish you all the best for your big day.
Ooh, got the show about the weddings. There's a show about it. Got the show about the weddings.